Every single person will have a different experience when they get high. And even the same person can have different experiences each time. It can depend on many things, like the strain of the grass, the environment you're in, and overall the type of person you are. But with that being said, I do know some of the most common types of people when they're high. Starting with Paranoid Peter. Paranoid Peter will take a few hits and his brain will go on overdrive, imagining the worst scenario he could possibly be in. And he'll just slowly convince himself that it's real.
Hey, how you doing?
Shit, he knows I'm high. He probably knows that I jaywalked last week too. Fuck, I'm going to jail for life.
Buddy, are you okay?
Fine, I'm high as hell and I illegally crossed the road last week. Next up, we got Mary with the munchies. Mary will get zooted and go ham on all the food in the vicinity. She'll have DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats knocking on her door like they're the IRS or something. But I'm not gonna lie, I know we've all been there. No, not with the IRS, I'm talking about the munchies. Because food when you're high simply hits different. You go from just chewing, swallowing, and digesting your food to dissecting and distinguishing each particular particle of that food. And I don't know why, but your brain never tells you if you're full. So you can just eat food infinitely. Next, we got Chill Charlie. Chill Charlie is just so laid back. Once this dude takes a puff, he is just nonchalant. And nothing in the world can make this man start chalanting.
Charlie, they found the kids in our basement.
Chill out, dude. It's all gonna be alright.
Hey, hands behind your back.
Yo, calm down. Why are you so aggressive? And of course, we got Sleepy Sam. You see, Sleepy Sam has had a long day at work. He decides, what would be a better way to end the day than to light up some Bubba Kush? We can't forget about George with the giggles, man. George just be laughing at anything when he's high. And it's the best when you get two high Georges in a room. You could hit George with some devastating news, and there's nothing he can do but laugh. George, I'm so sorry, man. I just crashed your new Bugatti. Honestly, at this point, literally anything can make him laugh. Okay, maybe not anything. Next up, we got Mumbling Martin. Some motherfuckers just be smoking and start to think they're Cardi or something. Like, after a few hits, they start to invent a whole new language.
Dance like dick can be hit, man.
Wait, what?
I said dick can be hit, man.
Can you just speak up a little bit?
You can't hold me. You can't tell me. Speak up.
And man, we all know a coughing Carl. Yeah, bro. Can you pass me that grass?
God damn. God bless America.
We got sober Sophia. Yo, Sophia, take a hit.
No.
And what about immobilized Eric? I don't know if any of y'all have experienced this before, but sometimes Eric be smoking a little too much, and it's like his controller just disconnects. Like, wherever he smokes, he will be there in the same position for the whole night. Yo, bro, we're going home. Ain't no way Eric is still here, bruh. There has to be some sort of brain muscle disconnect when he smokes. Because you could 360 roundhouse this motherfucker and he would still be chilling in the same spot he smoked. That is, until the effect just wears off. And we got Philosopher Phil. Listen, I don't know what Phil smokes, but whatever it is, it seems to rewire his brain and turn him into a modern Aristotle. If a time machine is ever made in the future, then it has always existed. Yeah, bro, I never thought about it like that. How can you prove to me that you even exist? I don't know, I just... Was math discovered? Or was it created? Created? Wait. No, are we a body with a mind, or just a mind with a body? Hey, bro, I'm way too high for this shit.
There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin'. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
what now?
We could watch a scary movie. Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just set an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, Hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part. Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like white tea.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hoes, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two-man, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, It is open.
Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle.
But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window.
But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room. And then I lean just a little too far, and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor.
And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window.
Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying?
But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hose. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro.
But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real.
Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. For Real. I'm Alice.
And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, oh, we should. God. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time. So I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit. Like, what else was there to do?
But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back.
And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, because if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, because I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown-ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce, my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, because he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson.
Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are.
I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro. And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna...
Yo, Chains, I'll pay you $5 if you pull that fire alarm right there.
Oh,
yo, run.
Chains, do you know why I've called you into my office today?
No.
You see, that little stunt you pulled has led you to a 1 week suspension.
God damn it. What does suspension mean?
It means for the next week you are prohibited from coming to school.
Fuck. What does prohibited mean?
Chains, you can't come to school for the next week.
Hold up, so you're telling me because I pulled the fire alarm, I don't have to go to school for a week?
Yes, it's a suspension. You are...
Man, I got a love-hate relationship when it comes to getting suspended from school. Like, on one hand, shit, you just don't have to go to school. But on the other hand...
Suspended? Oh, I'm about to suspend that ass. Ah, fuck. Ow.
Alright, I don't recommend getting suspended. That shit is not worth it. But how do I know? This story dates way, way, way back to grade 7. It was a cold winter day at Stickman Middle School. In fact, it was freezing cold, and this gave Billy a great idea.
Yo, the pond behind the school is frozen. Let's go fuck around on it.
Oh, I'm down.
Okay, bet.
So after school, we got a group of 5 homies, and we headed over to the frozen pond. Now, to paint the picture,
behind Stickman Middle School was Stickman Elementary School, and behind Stickman Elementary School was this frozen pond, meaning we had to walk through Stickman Elementary School to get to this pond. But nonetheless, we walk up to the pond and instantly I see this big red sign that says, "Hazard, do not step on ice." Guys, the sign says do not step on ice.
Man,
what the sign? Watch this. Oh shit, look, it's sturdy as fuck.
Yo, fuck.
And even though Billy's dumbass fell in, the ice was actually pretty sturdy. So you know, we're gliding around, eating shit, hitting the meanest ballerina spins you've ever seen, and eating shit. And we were having some good old harmless fun. In fact, our grade 7 selves were having the time of our lives on this frozen water. That is until... Oh, what do you guys think you're doing? We were just walking on the ice. Did you guys not see the sign?
What sign?
I could have swore I put a sign right here.
Nope.
No sign at all.
There was no sign.
I have no clue what you're talking about. Okay, but you guys have to get off the ice.
Well, why? Nobody's getting hurt.
Yeah, we're safe. Okay, it's your choice. You're gonna regret this. So we continued with our ice skating antics for approximately 10 more minutes. Until the same lady came back up to the pond, but this time she was equipped with a Sony Alpha A7 mirrorless digital camera with the Extendo lens. In other words, she was quite literally about to catch us in 4K. But at least she doesn't know what school we go to. Hey, what school do you guys go to?
Not Stickman Middle School.
Absolutely not.
No, definitely not.
Fuck, she knows. We had to think quick. How are we gonna smoothly get out of this situation without getting in trouble? So we called a boys' emergency meeting. We huddled up and discussed our best plans to get out of this situation. And after combining all of our genius grade 7 brains, we made the ultimate plan. If we started mooning the camera, it would then be illegal for her to take pictures of our middle school cheeks. I don't know how this became our best option, but regardless, we put the plan in motion. I mean, me personally, I got a little shy and kept my pants up, but some of the boys were out there going crazy, looking more caked up than Summer Rae. And after a little while, the lady must have decided it wasn't a great look to have a camera pointed at some 12-year-old cheeks, and she left. Which means the plan had worked. Flawlessly. Now the next day at school, I had completely forgot about it to be honest. But strangely enough, while I was sitting in math class, I hear the little class phone start ringing. Hello? Oh yes, he's here. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll send him your way. Thank you. Chains, Mr. Principal wants to talk to you. And at this point, I should have picked up on why I was being called to the office, but I had complete faith in our foolproof plan of mooning this stranger that the thought of being in trouble didn't even cross my mind. That was until I walked into the office to see every single one of the boys sitting in Mr. Principal's office. But mama didn't raise a snitch, so we started capping our asses off.
So, what did you guys do after school yesterday?
Nothing.
I played Fortnite.
I was doing a homework.
Don't play stupid with me. I got a call from Mrs. Principal over at Stickman Elementary. So tell me. What were you doing on the pond yesterday?
I wasn't there.
It wasn't us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what a pond is.
I see. Well, I've got evidence.
And as he shows us this undeniable evidence, you can see this dude Billy's cheeks in the corner of one of the pictures. So I slowly look over at Billy, and he looks over at me.
If you don't stop laughing right now, you're all suspended. That's it. You're all suspended.
And as I explain the situation to my mom, let's just say Mama Chains was not happy.
Alright, next up we got Billy presenting his baking soda volcano experiment.
Hey guys, how we doing? Alright, so you see if I put a solid amount of baking soda in here and then a little bit of vinegar here. It's supposed to explode.
Oh, oh shit. Fuck.
Quickly, organize a single file line in alphabetical order.
Hey, I'm first.
No, you're not, bro. I'm first.
Your last name is literally Johnson.
I have two last names.
Listen, bro, I'm not saying we shouldn't have school drills and all, but what I am saying is the school drills we do have are straight bullshit. Like, if there was a fire in my class, I'm jumping straight out the window, the fuck? There is no way you'll catch me waiting for Alexander and Arnold to debate who's first in line while I'm out here getting sauteed. And shit, fire drills aren't even close to being the worst of the drills, cause we got lockdown drills. Now, I don't know who planned out these drills, but goddamn, these drills are ass. Now, if you never had lockdown drills, they're pretty much a foolproof plan set in place to completely counter anyone pulling up to school with a strap. You see, the plan is pretty simple. You lock the door, gather all the students into the corner of the class, and you turn the lights out. And the reason we turn the lights out is so we can politely tell the intruder that nobody's home. Now, if every classroom followed these steps perfectly, we might even be able to convince the dude that it's a pro D-Day or something. Now listen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, I really do, but there's one minor flaw in this plan. The shooter's in the class, bruh. You're out here telling the opposition your exact game plan, then you're surprised when bro pulls up to the hiding spot? Like shit, it's just easy pickings at this point. Now, earthquake drills, man. The game plan here is to essentially hop under your desk and start counting. Now, when I was in kindergarten, I thought this whole earthquake drill thing was a fun game we played to learn how to count. But 12 years later, we were still counting. Like, let's be honest. What the fuck is counting gonna do? Are you telling the earthquake how long it has to dismantle the school? Cause I'm pretty sure it doesn't give a shit how long it takes. Me personally, I feel like the best way to see if an earthquake is over is by observing whether or not the entire fucking building is shaking. But listen, I will say this. Out of all the drills, the earthquake drill is pretty valid. Like, whoever thought of this one was kinda cooking. I mean, these desks are pretty much made out of steel, bro. Like, out of all my years, I've never seen one break before. So it probably provides some solid protection. But shit, me personally, I'm still jumping through the fucking window, bruh. I don't care how many times I practice crouching under my desk. If I ever felt the slightest shake in the ground, I'm out of that hole. So if you carry the 674 to the power of 2 over to the 47, you will find—
Oh shit!
Well, why did Change just dive out of the window?
Shit, I don't know.
Now I'ma keep it a stack. I've never done a single tornado drill in my life. So after doing some quick research, it looks like you just, you do this. Now I don't know shit about tornadoes, but what I do know is that I'm not gonna be doing this shit. Like, I'm no scientist, but I don't think the doggy position is gonna stop the tornado from packing you up. So to be honest, once again, I'm jumping out the fucking window, bro. Like, that's just my default reaction. And if that tornado ends up putting me on a t-shirt, then so be it. At least the last position I was in before I died was not the face down, cheeks up pose. But bro, imagine being the kid who poorly timed his piss and now the fire alarm's going off midstream. And you don't even get to know if it's a drill or not. Then there's the whole do you wash your hands dilemma, right? Cause you don't wanna get trapped in the fire and fucking die, but on the other hand, you don't wanna just not wash your hands. Cause if it's a drill, then you're just left with dirty ass hands. And while you're trying to decide whether to wash your hands or not, the class is outside taking attendance like—
Rosalina.
Here.
Jared.
Here.
Chains.
Chains?
Oh fuck. Where did Chains go?
I don't know, bruh.
Shit.
Oh, no, I was just in the bathroom.
Woo, you scared me there for a second. Wait, did you wash your hands?
No, I was in a little bit of a rush.
Get back in there and wash your hands, buddy.
Now the thing about school drills is they happen pretty often. I mean, every few weeks they throw in a fire drill here and a little earthquake drill there. So when the fire bell actually goes off, motherfuckers just assume it's a drill. They're out here horsing around, making jokes and shit, while the school's actually getting fucking cremated. But after almost all the drills are alphabetical, single file line goes out to the front of the school and on the field with every other class. And the amount of buffoonery that goes down on this field is insane. insane, bro. I mean, everyone walks in with a single file line, but after 5 minutes, that shit looks like a Travis Scott concert, bro. Like, I remember one time my high school got a bomb threat called in, so every class assembled the good old alphabetical line, and we went out onto the field. And we were out there for a minute, bro. I remember looking around, and these motherfuckers were running the world's biggest game of Duck Duck Goose. Like, there wasn't a whole ass bomb threat called into our school. That same day, one kid brought a football to the field, and all of a sudden, motherfuckers are running a pickup game while we're waiting to see if our school is gonna explode or not. And of course, the teachers tried to stop it, but these kids just used that as a diversion play and got another touchdown. Alright, so now that we thoroughly dissected each and every school drill, it's only fair we hit them with a tier list. So let's see what we got here. We're starting with lockdown drills. What are we saying? Fucking F tier. Holy shit, they are ass. Alright, next up we got fire drills. Now these drills do get the job done, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm not fucking with this whole single file alphabetical bullshit. So I'm gonna have to give this John a C tier. Now tornado drills. You gotta go in the doggy position. Bro, I got no choice but to give this a D tier. And last but not least, my personal favorite, earthquake drills. They're still kinda ass, B tier. And bro, I know some of y'all may be thinking, you can't just talk shit about the school drills and not present any better solution. Well, lucky for you, I have devised the best and only way to fully counter any natural or artificial disasters. It's simple. For a guy like me who's 7 feet, 325 pounds, 0.5% body fat, and a 7 foot wingspan, I just simply remove myself from the situation. However, I do understand that I am built different. So for your average Joe, I have devised another plan. It's also simple. The moment some shit goes down, everyone runs at full speed out of the building. And of course, some would argue that not everyone is gonna be able to make it out of the building in time and that some people are faster and stronger than others, and you know what that's called? Natural selection. You see, if I was principal, instead of running students through these impractical drills, I would be running students through a different kind of drills. I would have my students in peak physical condition. Instead of a fire bell, I would have a push-up bell. At any given time, if that shit goes off, you drop down and give me 50, or your ass is getting expelled. You see, this way, when there's a fire, everyone can simply remove themselves from the situation. Or in other circumstances, they can simply intervene.
Bad haircuts. There is nothing worse than when your barber just randomly decides to destroy your self-confidence with some goofy ass haircut. And as someone who has never found a barber who consistently does me nicely, I have gotten my shit all the way fucked up on many occasions. I'm talking not going to school, locking myself in my room so nobody can see me with this disgraceful cut type of fucked up. And these barbers are out here having the audacity to ask, "Do you like it?" Man, do I like it? Yeah, bro. I love it, bro. Thank you so much. Man, I'd just be wiping the tears away and then tipping them nicely. Knowing damn well I should be out here throwing hands, because this dude is the reason I can't get any bitches. So I've tried lots of different barbers in my time, starting with the ones my mom used to take me to. I mean, this early, I never really even had a say on what I wanted my hair to look like. So, what are you looking for today? You know, just a little bit off the top, please. Shave it. Wait, what? Shave it. Your new haircut looks so good, buddy.
Thanks.
Hey man, you know your haircut is ass when your mom says she likes it. As a kid, I always dreaded getting haircuts because I knew my barber was already like 0 for 10. And I would show up to school every time knowing it was inevitable that I was about to get my shit flamed. And truthfully, there is no worse roasting than when you get a bad haircut. Like, people you barely even know will be out here cooking you.
Who the fuck is this?
All of a sudden, people got more jokes than Chris Rock. And it's even worse when you decide, I should get a fresh cut because school's starting back up and I'm trying to look fresh. Bro, I can't go to school like this. Yo, Chains, what's up? Yo, what's good? Bro, are you alright? Why do you got this hoodie on? Yeah, I'm chilling. I'm just kind of cold, you know? Bro, it's 32 degrees. And man, there was this one time that I still think about every time I fall asleep. Me and my friend go to this barbershop that I'd been to once before, and last time they did me quite nicely. So we head in, I sit down in the chair. Hey, how you doing? I'm good, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. Have you been here before?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Oh, I remember you. Same cut as last time?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's new, man?
Nothing much, really. What about you?
You know, I've just been working.
Oh, yeah, respect.
So, how's your dad doing?
This is when I knew something was terribly wrong.
Bro, I don't got a dad.
Fuck!
You know, he's good.
This motherfucker was giving me some random kid's haircut. This dude must have thought I was Manny or some shit, because he gave me that middle part cut. And he pushed my hairline back a little bit.
And everyone in my city knew this barber. So everyone at my school followed his Instagram too.
Can I get a picture from my Instagram?
Nah, bro. I don't really like being posted.
Don't worry. It's quick.
Nah, I don't really want to. This dude caught me lacking so bad and broadcasted it to everyone in my city.
Fuck, bro. I should throw hands with him right now. I gotta get it back in blood.
So, do you like the cut?
Yeah, I do.
And when I checked my Instagram, I was out here getting flamed so hard.
Borderline cyberbullying.
And I'm not joking when I say this. This motherfucker fucked me up so bad. I learned how to cut my own hair and never went back to a barber ever again.
Aw, can I pet your dog?
Yeah, for sure.
Aw, what's your name, little guy?
His name's Ben.
Ben?
Aw, he's so cute. I just wanna punt that motherfucker.
Man, these intrusive thoughts I be having make me wonder whether I belong in maximum security prison or not. Like, I don't even mean to, but the thoughts that pop into my head are so menacing that I can't even say this shit on YouTube, or this video will get taken down. Then I'll be canceled. Then my whole channel will get deleted. Then I'll be thrown into a psych ward, and then I'll be put on the fucking death penalty. Like, these thoughts that pop into my head are so alarming that they make me want to beat my own ass, bro.
Hey, man, why'd you just sock yourself in the face?
Oh, well, you see, I was about to push that unsuspecting toddler into the deep end for no apparent reason, so...
Yo, this guy's about to assault a minor.
Hey, you can't do that!
Cool,
but it's not like every single intrusive thought I have is bad enough to get me convicted. Like, whenever I'm walking across a bridge, I have to use every cell in my body to fight the urge of just tossing my phone into the water. Like, there is literally no benefit from doing that shit, but there's just something inside of me that would feel so much satisfaction with just seeing my phone dissipate into the water. You know, maybe you get that urge because it would just be satisfying to do some shit that's out of the box. Some shit that nobody else would do, just to break the simulation a little bit. Cause I could be having the best day of my life. I could wake up, get the meanest pump in, hop in the shower, eat the most fire breakfast, and draw the most pristine stickman I've ever drawn. But as I'm casually walking beside a bunch of cars that are going 65 miles an hour, I'm still gonna have the urge to just throw myself in front of a car, bro. And it's not even on some emo shit. Like, I want to live, but I also want to dive into some oncoming traffic. But at least I'm not the only one who does this. Like other people do this, right? Like, it's normal, right? But half the time, an intrusive thought will just be to do some goofy shit. Like, you're just forced to imagine the consequences of what it would look like to start throwing it back on a Tuesday at 2:41 p.m. And every once in a while, you'll just be chilling, and you'll witness a motherfucker fall to the intrusive urges. Shit, he let the intrusive thoughts win, man. Now, I don't even know if these count as intrusive thoughts or not, but as a dude, when I'm walking down the street, I'll just be going on with my day chilling. Then all of a sudden I see a car and I'm like,
if I don't make it to that tree before this car, I'm gonna die.
Aw, shit. Honestly, these kinds of intrusive thoughts are kind of motivating. Like, it's the same thing as having a hype man at the gym, except instead of that positive reinforcement, if you don't get those 3 extra reps, you're gonna die. It's like whenever I'm at the gym hitting those Bulgarian split squats, I'd be having mental wars with myself. Oof, that was a good set, man. I think we're done.
5 more reps or you're a bitch.
Damn, good shit. All right, I think we can wrap it up.
10 more, pussy. Who the fuck's gonna carry the boats?
I told you we should have stopped, bro.
15 more or you like dick.
Now that I think about it, there's a good amount of people in prison right now who just succumb to their intrusive thoughts. Because intrusive thoughts are just like that demon on your shoulder telling you to do the most devious shit possible. And I know there's a bunch of motherfuckers out there who just listen to that little guy. Hey, man, you see that lovely old lady right there?
Yeah, you're gonna hit her with a mean right hook.
Well, what's in it for me? Nothing.
Shit, alright. But to be honest, there is a handful of times where I've let the intrusive thoughts take over. One of the most memorable was way back when I was 5 years old. Me and my older brother were just dicking around, doing some 5-year-old shit. Keep in mind, this story takes place before your boy had even developed consciousness. So I was just a little munchkin, doing munchkin shit. Then suddenly, this urge came over me. It was unlike anything I'd ever felt before. It was dark, irresistible, and for no apparent reason, I bit my brother's arm. And this was probably the most satisfied I'd ever felt in my entire life, but it was followed by shame and regret because I had no excuse. Ow, why the fuck did your dumbass just bite me, bro?
I felt like it.
And one of my lowest IQ moments of all time took place when I was in grade 8. It was goddamn sewing class, bro. And I remember I was having a particularly miserable day, so I was just going through the motions. We were all gathered around this big table with our sewing machines, some fabric, and some scissors. I remember I was working on some shitty little big chungus stuffy. But on this particular day, the sewing machine cable was looking mad thick and juicy. And like I said, I was having a bad day, which is exactly why the intrusive thoughts decided to catch me at my worst.
Do it.
What? To do what?
Oh, you know what to do. You're the one with the scissors in your hand, buddy.
How did these even get in my hand?
Now cut it. Cut it, Chains.
No, why the fuck would I?
The wire exploded with smoke and my heart dropped so fast, bro.
And everyone around the table just stares me down. And I'm thinking I can somehow cover this shit up like I didn't just take some fucking scissors and snip that shit like an umbilical cord. Maybe I could convince the teacher the cord snipped itself or some shit.
But as I look down at the scissors in my hand,
there's literally a chunk missing from the scissors. They look like they survived World War II. But barely. The scissors are all charred up and shit, and just like that, my plan of convincing her I didn't cut it went out the fucking window. You take one look at the cord, one look at the scissors, and one look at my dumbass face, and you could piece together exactly what happened. So my sewing teacher walks over looking pissed as hell, and she tells me to go sit in the corner. So I take my charred scissors and sit in the corner like I'm a 5-year-old, but to be fair, I made a 5-year-old decision. Like, I was in grade 8. I was 14, bruh. What kind of 14-year-old cuts the cord to a sewing machine cause he felt like it? Like, if my 14-year-old son did some shit like that, I would tell the kid I'm going to get some milk and I'm calling it quits. I would have to have another kid and try it all over again, cause that kid is going nowhere in life, man. So as I'm sitting in the corner realizing I'm a disappointment, it was one of those moments where you fucked up so bad you don't even feel any emotions. I was just sitting there straight faced like, well, fuck me. It was really one of those moments where you just want to stop existing. So after the class ended, the teacher came over to me and she said, Chains, why the fuck did you cut the cord of the sewing machine?
No, Miss Sewingson, you gotta hear me out.
Okay, this better be good, Chains. You know, it's looking mad juicy and the scissors just teleported into my hands. I don't even know.
You did what?
Ah, Mom, it was the intrusive thoughts that they told me to do.
Oh, I'm about to intrude that ass.
The fuck?
Man, you could be the 47th president of the United States and you'd still get flamed in school. It's just inevitable. It could be your haircut, your clothes, and bro, even when there's nothing to roast, somebody's gonna try and spit out some bullshit anyways.
Hey, yo, why does Carl's face look like Spider-Man's left nut?
Yo, that's so true.
How do you know what his nuts look like?
And bro, when I was in middle school, all my clothes were hand-me-downs I got from my neighbor, and this motherfucker just didn't want to see me win, bro. Cause I was getting in piles of V-neck shirts and jeans that didn't even fit. And not only did my neighbor have no drip, but dude was 10 years older than me, so every fit I made was just a decade too late. And pulling up to school and that shit had me feeling like a rotisserie chicken, the way I was getting cooked at a 360 degree angle, bruh. But my fit wasn't even the only thing that was outdated, cause my phone looked like the first phone ever created. And it acted like it too. I mean, I would have to click the screen 5 times and then send a prayer to the heavens just to turn that shit on. And only real G's know the pain of having to whip out an old ass phone around someone else. Like, I remember this one time, a girl came up to me and asked if she could add me on Snapchat, and when I gave her my phone, my shit crashed, bro.
I think your phone just ran out of battery.
Oh no, don't worry, sometimes you just gotta...
Yeah, here you go.
Actually, I have a boyfriend, so...
Wait, what the fuck?
And ever since that day, that phone was my number one op, bro. So much so that the next time a girl came up and asked for my Snapchat, I started fucking malfunctioning, bro.
Hey, can I get your Snapchat?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No. It's just cause I don't have Snapchat.
Oh, well, what about your phone number?
I actually don't even have a phone.
You don't have a phone?
Oh, well, I did, but then my dog ate it. You know
what
I'm saying?
Oh my god, is your dog okay?
Sorry, I don't even have a dog. I don't have one.
Then, who ate your phone?
Fucking, I did.
Wait, was that?
Nope. Like, I do appreciate all the hand-me-downs, cause without them, I would be walking through the school butt-booty naked, but to be honest with you, if it was a choice, I would've rather been butt-booty naked. Cause these V-necks were straight girl repellent. Like, there's birth control, there's condoms, and then there's V-necks, bruh. But shit, I mean, you could still pull a lot while wearing a V-neck, but it's just like... It's just gonna be dudes. And just when you think I couldn't have been more roastable, my mom would be like, oh, sweetie, you need a haircut.
No, please, mom, no.
My mom used to take me to this shop that gave out $1 haircuts, bro, and these motherfuckers were straight speed running these cuts. They'd be asking what kind of cut you want while cutting your hair. And by the time you get to show them the cut you want, your shit is already done, bro. And my mom must have not been tipping them either, considering the fact that every time I went back, the cuts kept getting worse and worse. Until one time, I walked out there with my head bleeding, like I asked for a 2 on the sides, and she hit me with a -2. Now don't get me wrong, when I pulled up to school wearing the most abominable fit known to man with the atrocious haircut and shitter phone combo, I got my shit roasted, flamed, grilled, sauteed, deep fried, and then thrown into the goddamn microwave. Like the type of flaming that has you going home and just taking an extensive look in the mirror, questioning if you should legally change your name to Albert and flee the country. But somehow, this motherfucker Carl got flamed even harder than me just for being Carl. Like, whenever a friend group is created, there's just one dude selected to be the punching bag for the entire group. And you know, I feel bad and shit, but like... It's better Carl than me, bro, so I'ma slip a few jabs in if I have to.
Yo, what the fuck is Carl eating, bro?
Oh, hell nah.
Wait, whoa, Chains is eating the exact same thing.
Nah, what? Your shit looks like it tastes like cardboard. With honey mustard.
Wow, how did you know?
Like, Carl can't even get a little chuckle out without getting crucified, bruh. Damn, he's fucking that shit up.
Looks like he hasn't eaten in weeks, bro.
Oh, hell nah, Carl. I know you're not laughing.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're built like SpongeBob Brown Pants. You look like a malnourished Santa Claus, bro. Like, god damn, that's a face only a mother can love. What did I do?
Now, getting roasted around your boys is tough, but that pales in comparison to the pain and embarrassment of getting roasted in front of your crush, bro.
Yo, Chains, what did you get on the science test?
I'm not gonna lie, I got like a 76.
I'm surprised you're not smarter with that big-ass head of yours.
Yeah, good one, Joe.
No, like, for real, your shit is massive.
Well, like, the sheer amount of brain you could fit in that bitch should make you Einstein. You look like you should be pulling 10,000 IQ plays right now. You look like you got the solution to world hunger somewhere hidden in that big-ass noggin. Like, how do you even stand up straight with that absolute cranium for a head?
But I remember this one time I got my shit flamed so hard in front of an entire audience that I was brought to tears. But I mean, I was 6.
I was 6 years old. And the day was December 24th, Christmas Eve. So my mom brought me and my brother to this improv play, and as we sat and waited for the show to begin, this little elf walked up to us like, "Hey, do you guys want to be a part of the show?" "Yeah, let's do it."
"Okay, yeah, I'll do it."
And once the show began, they called me and my brother up to the stage and asked us a very simple question.
"So, what do you guys want for Christmas?"
"Oh, I want a Minecraft sword and a creeper stuffy."
"And what about you, little man?"
And as I looked into that crowd with dead silence, my brain stopped braining, bro.
"Hey, don't worry, it can be anything."
I want,
"Just kid, what do you want?"
"I wanna, man, I wanna, I don't really know what I want."
"Yo, who brought this fucking dumbass on stage, bro? Get the fuck out of here."
Now I'm paraphrasing. I mean, I was six. I don't remember exactly what he said, but that's what it felt like. And as we walked back to our seats, I was super embarrassed. But as the show started, it was actually pretty funny, and people had probably forgot about it by now. But 10 minutes into the show, a character walks on stage with some goofy ass buck teeth. "Yo, this guy looks stupid as hell."
"Oh shit."
And this dude proceeds to absolutely cook 6 year old me with no remorse. "Hey, what's your name?"
I don't know."
"What? Okay, how's your day?"
Day?
What the fuck is a day? I don't know."
Well, what do you know?"
"No. No, that's just it. I don't know. I just don't know. Shit, I don't think I know anything." And that shit had the whole audience laughing harder than ever. And as I looked around, my brother was laughing and even my mom was laughing. And it was this very moment that I had hit rock bottom. And at the age of six, I realized I would be put on this earth simply to suffer. And it made me cry, bro. I cried in the middle of this theater. Then the next morning I woke up and it was Christmas. And under the Christmas tree I saw the best gift of all. It was a Bob Pocket tee from ChainsClub.shop. That's right, it's brand new. You can wear it around your homies. You can wear it at school. You can wear it around your mom, your grandma, your great grandma. Maybe not your great grandma, but damn near anywhere else. And Bob will be posted in your pocket the whole time. Wow, what a perfect thing to get someone for Christmas. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right.
Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before, but it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time, which perfectly describes your boy way, way, way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident. And all at once, I turned from just a young, innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get-together for one of our friends' birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, cause you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff, and the girls were just posted on the couch. Cause, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around. So we're all sweaty and shit and we sit down on the couch, leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course. And we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, "I got a brownie." And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. "Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical." "Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece?"
"Yeah, I'll try one."
"Yeah, sure, I want some.
I mean, I am kind of hungry."
"Yes, please."
So everyone has their piece and they're kind of building up the suspense. Like, "Are you guys ready?
Are you sure we should do this?"
And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal?
The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real. No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high. Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually, everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff, like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober, and he's like, wait here. Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup. Keep in mind, I had never drank before, so I have no clue whether or not this is a lot. So I literally chugged the whole thing. Looking back, it had to have been at least 5 shots all at once. But man, I had no clue. So I'm just sitting there chilling on the couch, waiting for something magical to happen. And I start to think, maybe I'm just invincible. Like nothing can affect me. It all hit at once. The brownie and the vodka was out here running combos on me like John Cena and Randy Orton. And bro, something in that brownie changed my settings and enabled third-person perspective. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like I was watching myself on a movie, but like I was in the movie. Bro, I don't know. And apparently it also gave me the ability to teleport. Because I swear, when I blinked, I teleported from Billy's crib to the front of a McDonald's line. And listen, I have no clue what happened in between that time, but I had no business being in a public setting right now. Hi, what can I get for you? Sir, can I help you? Yeah. What can I get for you? Listen, because I was high, drunk, and apparently had no social capabilities, I was spitting some nonsense to this poor McDonald's employee. Do y'all got the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Sir, this is McDonald's. Yeah, and let me get that Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Dairy Queen, what?
And, what kind of nachos do you guys have?
I blinked again, and we were all back at Billy's house. The very last thing I remember from that night is there was absolutely no blankets. So I was out here using literally anything I could find for a little bit of warmth. But eventually, after a long night, I passed out.
Bro, in life, there's so many things you can cheat on. Like, you can cheat on your diet, you can cheat on your girlfriend, you can cheat on your barber, you can cheat on your girlfriend with your barber. Shit, you can even cheat on your taxes. So compared to everything else, cheating on a little math test is not that bad. Like, compared to your taxes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, shit.
Hey, we've all cheated on our barber, but you cannot cheat on this math test.
Oh, shit.
Damn, bro. I know we've all cheated on our girl, but you cheated on me, dog.
Oh, shit.
Babe, I know we cheated on our taxes, but you cheated on me?
Oh, shit.
Listen, in our entire lifespan, we've all cheated on something. Whether it's a game of Uno, your girlfriend, or your other girlfriend, it's usually not worth it, because congratulations, bro, you won the game of Uno, but now you have to look yourself in the mirror knowing you're a cheater and a liar that has 3 Uno cards up his ass. But when it comes to school tests, cheating is 100% worth it, bro. And I'm not condoning cheating at all, but let's just think about this logically. Like, why are we at school in the first place? We're at school to learn things and skills that we can use in real life. Now, are we really using trigonometry in real life? Well, effectively, this depends on what career.
Hell nah, bro. It was a rhetorical question. We are not using trigonometry.
But you know what we will use? Creative thinking, communication, social awareness, logic and reasoning, and most definitely our fucking phones. All 5 of which are strongly developed through the act of cheating on a school test. And on top of becoming a better human, better grades, it's the ultimate win-win. Your teacher feels like they did a good job teaching, your parents think they didn't raise a dumbass, and if you're good enough at cheating, you might just fuck around and get into Harvard. But once again, I am not condoning cheating, you know, just throwing that out there, you know,
But yeah, as I was saying, you shouldn't cheat, right? Like, it's bad. Cheating is not good, but you do know what they say. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Facts!
Yeah.
Wait, no. What? What?
So if cheating in school is so valid, why doesn't everyone do it? And that's because if you get caught... Let me tell you, bro. This story takes place in grade 9 when me, Bob, and Billy were some straight freshmen, bro. And coming into high school, you get your shit absolutely clapped by double the workload. But lucky for me, Bob and Billy were both in my math class, which meant we had triple the studying power. But we also had triple the fucking around power, and we used that shit to its maximum capacity, bro. But you know what they say, the more you fuck around, the more you find out. And when we got our first test back, shit, we found out. We found out we're a bunch of dumbasses who are about to fail grade 9 math, and we couldn't let that shit happen. So for the next test, we studied extremely hard. Off George's math test during the test. I mean, we were cheating with maximum efficiency. Like, we had a whole assembly line where Bob would look at George's test, throw up the number, and Billy would pass it along. And all of a sudden, our grades are making the meanest comeback Mr. Mathinson had ever seen. I mean, life was great. We went to school, cheated, played some Fortnite, succeeded, browsing history, deleted, and then repeated. I mean, we were just living life with no worries until...
The polynomials test.
I walked into this test thinking, I know what a polygon is, I should be chilling. And when the teacher handed out the test, I was bewildered to see all these fucking letters on my test. Like, is this math class or English, bruh?
Yeah, I think I got the wrong sheet.
Huh? No, yeah, no, that's the right test.
Well, what's the deal with this?
I mean, that's just polynomials.
Dog, I can name every single polygon, but who the fuck wrote Elon Musk's son name on my goddamn math question?
Yeah, Chains. That's what we call a variable. It's called a variable.
Yeah, I know. I know that. And I knew it before you said it, too. Cause we learned about it in class.
Yeah, right. Right.
Now, this would have been extremely bad if we didn't have the ultimate method we like to call George. Because George was one of those dudes who loved studying. Like, he'd wake up and go to school, then come home and study till he dropped, bro. Like, if you kidnapped George's whole family and told him you'd only give them back if he answered this equation, this motherfucker would just be happy he got more homework, bro. And because of this, we had a little deal going with George. If he let us cheat off his math test, we would teach him how to be a normal dude. We were teaching this kid how to dap someone up, how to use slang, and all I'ma say is, this motherfucker should've just stuck to math, bro. Yo, Chains, sauce me a bite, big dog.
I got you.
Shit, Chains, you just busted in my throat, gang.
Hey, yo.
George, what you just said right there sounded gay as hell. Type shit. So as I was saying, I'm looking at this math test with more letters than numbers, and it would have been raps for me if it wasn't for the George method. So I'm looking at Billy, Billy's looking at Bob, and Bob's looking at George's test, and we're absolutely flying through this polynomials test. And about halfway through, I look up to get the next answer, and I get jump scared by Mr. Mathinson mean mugging my shit. And you can see it in his eyes. He knew exactly what was going down, and he took me, Billy, and Bob's tests and took us to the hallway.
What do you guys think you're doing?
Polygon.
I'm pretty sure it's like
Did I see you three throwing up your fingers during our test?
Well, you see, Mr. Mathinson, we're gang affiliated. No, bro, what? What the fuck?
All right, you three, cut the shit. I caught you cheating. All three of you are getting zeros on this test, and I don't want to see it happen again, or I'm contacting your parents.
All right, it won't happen again. You're right. We're not in a gang, by the way.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
Well, shit.
Yo, what happened to you jits? Are you chilling?
Bro, Mr. Mathinson caught us lacking real bad. Yeah, he gave us all zeros on the test.
Holy shit, it sounds like Mr. Mathinson just absolutely railed you guys. No cap.
And all three of us proceeded to absolutely shit the bed on all of our next tests. And it was at the point where our grades were on life support and our math final was coming up. So if we didn't get our shit together for this final, our parents were about to put us on life support with that
that leather belt.
So we put our cheating ways in the past and locked in, bro. We were focused in class, and after we went to Bob's crib and kept studying there. And then it clicked. We all finally understood polynomials. And so the next day we walked into class confidently, knowing we were equipped with hours of studying. We lock in, sit down, and then the teacher gives us our test. And as soon as we lay our eyes on that very first question of the test, we were fucked. Now don't get me wrong, we could do polynomials all day long, but we forgot this was a final. Meaning we forgot to study numeracy, exponent laws, rational numbers, linear relations, inequalities, geometry, probability, and statistics, and in other words, we didn't know shit. And before I can even make eye contact with the boys to tell them I'm fucked, these motherfuckers are already hopping back on the George method. And listen bro, as you can tell, I'm no mathematician, and I did not study probability or statistics, but from what I'm seeing at this very moment, I have two options. I can do the test legitimately and have a 99% chance of failing grade 9 math and getting my shit whooped while simultaneously having my entire family realize they raised a dumbass who won't go anywhere in life and is destined to draw Stickman for all of eternity, or I could cheat. So we're out here hitting the George method, and I'm being extra careful, cause if we get caught lacking twice, it's complete and utter raps for us, bro. So we're grinding out the method, then the teacher looks up, boom, we're locked in on our own tests. He puts his head down, back to the method. And there was a few times in there I thought we were cooked, but we just kept it pushing. But still, we were low-key running out of time, and I had a whole page to complete. And God bless this random-ass dude's soul, because he raises his hand to ask a question, and as soon as the teacher turns his back on us, it's crunch time, bro. It's like double XP right now. Bob was out here throwing up these numbers so goddamn fast, I thought he turned Crip for a second. And then the bell went off, and we were all done, bro. We hand in our test, and then it was time to wait. A few classes go by, and then the teacher hands out our math finals alongside our report cards. And nervous as hell, we all check our report cards, and we all passed, bro. So we all go home, happy as hell to show our parents our report cards and the fact that we passed. Chains, you got a 54 in math?
Yup, mom, I sure did. You raised one hell of a smarty pants.
Oh, fuck. But at the end of the day, even if we all got our shit whooped, maybe the real treasure is the friends we made along the way.
Yo, homies, I'm bricked up right now.
Oh, no.
Here at Stickman High, we understand the importance of learning. That's exactly why our new curriculum has been perfected to accelerate the learning of each and every student. Like, hey, look at this kid.
Wait, what?
Look how big his head is. It must be full to the brim with all that knowledge we provide.
Hey, it's not that big.
No, it's pretty fucking big. Anyways, let's take a look at how the new curriculum pushes our students in the weight room. Oh, wow, impressive. See, I didn't even know legs could bend like that.
They can't.
All right, stop recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. All right, Stickman High, welcome to the new curriculum, and let's study those textbooks.
All right, class, are we ready to learn about this new curriculum or what? Or we could just do a Kahoot?
Yes, sir! That's what I've been waiting for. That's what it's all about.
Man, I fucking love Kahoots, and I don't study for shit. Bro, I feel like Kahoots are the exact equivalent of the good old here comes the airplane trick. Like,
yo, you want a Brussels sprout?
Aw, hell nah, bro. Those are disgusting.
Oh, shit. Alright, but here comes the airplane.
Hey, Chains, you need to study for this history test.
Hell nah, bro. That shit's boring as hell.
Okay, yeah, but...
The Declaration of Independence was signed on the... Because personally, I didn't give a single fuck about what we're learning in school. But I swear they infused the Kahoot music with Adderall or like crack or some shit. Because a game of Kahoot used to have me all the way locked in. And I would be grinding my way up those leaderboards. Like, I'd make it to third place and then second place and then first. And then the teacher would throw in some bullshit like, now what position was Abraham Lincoln conceived in? So I go for the safe answer, and all of a sudden I dropped 14 places, and I'm getting passed by goddamn Dildo and Duncan McCawkiner. And the teacher's over here yapping about,
yeah, guys, you should know this one. It's chapter 13 in your textbooks.
Like, bro,
Why the actual fuck should we know this one?
But in these cahoots, people were coming up with the most outrageous names of all time, bro. I remember any time a teacher would pull up a cahoot, the first names would start off normal as hell. Jessica, Eric, maybe a little Bartholomew. But as soon as one dude drops a name that's ever so slightly comical, every single name after that ends up being more and more out of pocket than the last. It's like a competition to see who's gonna push that shit the furthest. Like Richard Long quickly turns into Ben Dover, which nicely parlays into Hugh Janus, which passes it over to I Swallow Cum, who alley-oops it for Wilma Dickfit, which eventually somehow always ends up with the teacher just catching mad strays. Like somewhere along the line, that shit goes from Dixie Normus to Miss Jackson's Built Like Mike Wazowski.
Alright, who said I'm built like Mike?
I remember I had this teacher who used to love cahoots. Shit, she loved her cahoots so much, we'll call her Miss Cahooters. Nope. Nah, we're not actually doing that. We're not calling her that. I think we'll just go with Miss Cahoot. You know what I'm saying? I think Miss Cahoot works just fine. And every Friday or so, we would walk into Miss Cahoot's class, and she would have a cahoot pulled up smiling from ear to ear. Which, I'm not gonna lie, was really sad to see. Not because she was smiling, but because I knew in 20 minutes tops, that smile would turn into straight anger, bro. Hey class, happy Friday. We're gonna do another cahoot because I know it's a class favorite. Just please, everyone be appropriate.
DJ Bustanut, are you serious? In my 22 years of teaching, I have never...
And I felt bad for Miss Cahoot, you know, like, I really did. But it was low-key her fault for running it back so many times. Because DJ Bustanut just couldn't stop catching these dubs, bro. He was a dog. But nah, I really do feel Miss Cahoot. Because sometimes even Cahoot pisses me off, bro. Because picture this, I'm here grinding out these answers, giving it my all, even cheating a little off that one smart motherfucker with the big ass laptop, but I still get a few answers wrong, you know, nobody's perfect. But imagine my pain as I read my screen and find out I'm 76 points behind fucking Sebastian, bro. And I look up at Sebastian and this motherfucker doesn't even know what he's playing. He's just happy to be here and shit. But there's only one feeling worse than being 76 points behind Sebastian, and that feeling always came from the easiest questions. It would be like, oh, what? This is a little too easy. How do you say hi in English? And you're trying to speedrun this shit, so you click the first thing that kind of makes a little bit of sense and the answers come up, and you're the only motherfucker to get that shit wrong.
No.
Who's dumbass? And everyone's looking around for who got it wrong. Like,
yo, who's dumbass got that shit wrong, bruh?
Facts, bruh. Type shit. Dumbass. Type shit. Fucking dumbass.
Chains? Were you the dumbass who got that shit wrong, bro?
Me? Dumbass?
Nah, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Nah. It was probably Sebastian, bro. Just look at that one. And I feel like there's only 7 types of people in class when you're playing a cahoot. And the first is Dover. Bend Over. We all know him and we all love him. He's got a smart name but not a smart brain. He might get the first answer right, but then he falls off the face of the leaderboards, never to be seen again. But on the leaderboards, we got Genius George. Cause George actually studied the material like a well-prepared and studious nerd, bruh. Cause George was the type of dude to be like,
calculate for the common denominator.
Oh man, this one is too easy. Like, bro, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm about to commonly dominate that ass.
No, it's called a denominator.
Oh, I know. And I swear every game of Kahoot had that one person who took their sweet time to answer every single question. Like, it could be 1 + 1, and this motherfucker would be 30 seconds deep into the question, like, okay, 1 + 1. Is it a trick question?
No, just answer the question.
Oh, okay. 1 + 1 =
The answer's 2, dumbass.
Okay, can I use a lifeline and phone a friend?
Alright, chat. How do we kick Jasmine out of the lobby?
And then we got Flying Fuck Frederick. And Flying Fuck Frederick doesn't give a flying fuck. Dude will give his best shot at the first question, and then he's aborting mission and playing some goddamn Clash Royale. And then there's always that one dude yelling out the wrong answers.
Alright, what's the biggest mountain town in the world.
Ooh, ooh, I know this one. Chains, it's blue, bro. Trust.
Oh, shit, bet.
Wait, no, I meant red. Sorry, my tongue slipped, bro, my bad.
Bro. Oh, and it looks like Chains is off the leaderboard. Everyone, let's point our fingers and laugh at him.
And we got the radiating Redditor. And I say radiating because that boy is radiating the most profuse body odor known to man. And I don't know, maybe it's all a part of their strategy to win, because that shit throws you off your game, bro. They'll be invading your nostrils with a concoction of Doritos, Skibbity Toilet, and Badoosie. And if you've ever played against a Redditor in a game of Kahoot, you may be wondering, yo, how is this dude getting every answer right while sitting back drinking Mountain Dew watching Best Sigma Moment compilations? And the answer is, he's cheating, bro. And not the normal kind of cheating either. This dude's using a Kahoot bot to get every answer right. And now you may be thinking, nah, why would someone cheat on a Kahoot, bro? It's not that serious. And that's facts, but the thing is, the prize was a gummy bear, and this dude can't leave no calories behind. And then we got the casual Kahooters. Fuck, I gotta stop saying that shit, bro. I was trying to say we got the people who just play the game. They got normal names, they get some right, they get some wrong, but at the end of the day, they probably still get their shit yelled at, all because DJ Bustanut couldn't stop catching these dubs. Alright.
Chug.
Oh,
bro,
God,
you're
no crazy,
just
bro.
One more.
No
chill.
Way.
Yeah, let's
shit.
Go.
Are you good?
Ooh. Damn.
Blacking out drunk. It's not a fun experience. In fact, it's on the list of the top 3 worst things to experience, ranked just below giving birth. Now, if blacking out drunk is so bad, you may ask yourself, why do so many people do it? And truthfully, there are only a few reasons why one would inflict such a brutal pain on their liver. The first reason is impatience. Some motherfuckers just can't wait the 15 minutes it takes for alcohol to kick in, so they slam back one too many shots. And when that shit hits. Or secondly, peer pressure. I mean, to be fair, you will look cool as fuck for those 3 minutes where you're down in a bunch of vodka. Until you're lonely, gurping into the toilet, reconsidering your life decisions. Or, because it's yet another Valentine's Day, you will spend locked away in your room, drawing little stick men on your computer because you get absolutely zero bitches. Wow, so relatable, am I right? But if you've never been blackout drunk before, let me explain what it's like so you never have to experience it. Phase 1, I like to call smooth sailing. This is where you got a few drinks in you, but you're still chilling, or as many like to say, you're tipsy. But say, as you're observing your surroundings, you make an astounding discovery and find out the function has Hennessy. That shit will take you straight to phase 2. Sauced. At this point, you're just drunk, bro. You're doing some fuck shit, you're saying some fuck shit, and Lord knows you're probably thinking some fuck shit. Some symptoms that you're in phase 2 will include sunglasses appearing on your face, the sudden urge to steal traffic cones, hitting the nene, staring in the bathroom mirror for 10 minutes and saying, "Damn, I'm drunk as fuck." Now, it's at this phase whether you decide you're gonna have a cool, fun night, or if you're gonna end up looking like Nate Robinson. Like, when you're offered more alcohol, don't drink that shit. I repeat, do not drink that shit. "Hey, do you want some of my drink?" "Fuck no." Do you want a sip of my—" Aw, shit, you done fucked up. That's the type of shit that will have you in phase 3, which I like to call, "Shit, I don't feel so good." As you can tell by the name, this is where shit starts to go downhill. You go from having a jolly old time to quivering on the floor with your liver fighting for its life. And this is the moment when your memory starts cutting out. You can remember some things here and there, but half of the night simply vanishes. And to be honest, that's gotta be for the better, bro, because I don't know if you wanna remember the pain of being in the downwards dog position while vomiting your guts out. It's not a fond memory. But to get to phase 4, god damn, the function would have to have a lot of fucking Hennessy. In order to get this drunk,
You gotta be going through some shit. You gotta be in Spain without the S. You gotta be in Champagne without the sham. You gotta be going through some cock and ball torture without the cock and ball part. Or you gotta make a pretty big miscalculation, bro. Either way, you ingested enough alcohol to kill several farm animals, and this is roughly what you're gonna remember. Nothing, bro. You're not gonna remember jack shit. Pretty much 30 seconds after laying eyes on that juicy bottle of Hennessy, you teleported into your bed with a crazy headache and no recollection of what the fuck just happened. Which takes you straight into stage 5. Grief. You go on your phone to ask the homies what happened last night, and the very first thing you see in the group chat leaves you frightened, appalled, in disbelief.
You thought I was killing you? No. That nigga,
now, I don't know what gremlin takes over your body when you're blackout drunk, but there is no reason I should be throwing my shit back like Ice Spice. Well, on video. Like, it's cool behind closed doors and all, but in public? The fuck? And I understand that consuming enough alcohol to make you forget the night completely has horrible effects on your body and kills an unholy amount of brain cells, but like, that's really not even the worst part, bro. Like, my brain can take one for the team, but my dignity? If I see one more video of me dropping that shit to the floor, I'm done, bro. That's it. You wake up the next morning not remembering a single thing, but as you see more videos, read more text messages, collect more data and evidence from that night, you begin to piece together the puzzle of a night that should not be remembered, leaving you in grief. But that's not all. No. Phase 6 is pain. Cause you don't even wanna feel the extent of a blackout hangover. That shit will have you feeling like you got hit by a bus. And shit, you might have actually got hit by a bus. You wouldn't know. Shit will have you feeling like one of those musty old chihuahuas. Now, I don't know exactly what it feels like to be one of these things, but all I know is you don't want to be one of those musty old chihuahuas. I mean, it's not fun waking up all shaky with a throbbing headache and the urge to just stop existing. And every single time you blackout drunk, you tell yourself, I'm never getting this drunk ever again. Until the moment you realize the function has Hennessy.
So, as I mentioned in my fast food video, I worked at a place called Jim Jordan's. Not to be confused with the popular Canadian establishment, Tim Hortons. With that being said, at the time I had already worked at Jimmy's for a year. And to be fair, I couldn't care less if I got fired. So one day I got booked for a night shift from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. But that wasn't gonna stop me and the boys from smoking up beforehand. So we're all chilling at Bob's crib, and we all take a hit. We all ate some snacks. Listen, you know the drill. But then Bob asked, are you guys trying to watch some TV? Nah, I'm really just trying to fuck up these Doritos.
Yeah, I could watch something.
So Bob throws on the first thing that comes up. And I'm thinking, these nerds are trying to watch Dora. But literally 5 minutes later.
Do you see Swiper the frog?
Yeah, he's in the bush. Yeah, you see him?
Where?
What, in the bush.
I don't see him.
He's right there.
Where?
Right behind you.
Right behind.
Yes.
Swiper,
no, swipe. Oh, hell no. All of a sudden, I was invested. This show had me in a trance. We were banging out episode after episode, and when I go to check my phone, it's already 5:59. So I'm like, oh shit. I got work in 1 minute. So I run to my car. I wouldn't drive. Not because I'm baked as shit. I was just broke, bruh. I didn't have a car. I was working at Jim Jordan's. So I haul my ass over to the bus stop. Then I wait there as fast as I can. I get on the bus. Then I get off the bus. Then eventually I make it to Jim Jordan's. Needless to say, I was late as hell. And of course my manager had something to say about it. But shit, I was higher than gas prices right now, man.
You can't be coming in late like this.
Yeah.
Jonathan had to stay an extra 30 minutes to cover you. It is very unprofessional,
for sure.
So late.
Are you even listening?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What did I say then?
For sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She definitely knew I was high as hell. But she couldn't fire me. Because honestly, nobody else wanted to work there. So I throw on the gym drip, hop on the drive-through window. And I'm the type of dude whose brain just disintegrates when I'm high. So I was just chilling, you know, doing my thing. But all of a sudden, some guy comes through the drive-through and tries to kill my vibe.
Sir,
Sir, hello? Do you have my food?
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, I just ordered some food back there, and I... Bro, what do you think this is? McDonald's? Yeah, I'm gonna keep it a stack. Most of my brain cells were still at Bob's crib watching Dora. And I guess one of my coworkers noticed that. Yeah, you should just make the drinks. I'll be on drive-thru.
Okay.
Even though I didn't have to talk to people anymore, my brain still refused to start braining. Yo, Chains, chill.
Wait, what?
Looking back, I am really sorry for whoever ordered something that night, because I wasn't even reading the orders. I was out here freestyling with the coffee.
A little bit of this. Oh, yep, a little bit of that.
Whole lot of this.
Is this the black coffee?
What is this, the black coffee?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Then I went on my break. Alright, Chains, what do you want?
Well, what do you guys have?
Bro, you work here.
Can I get, everything?
Oh, everything bagel?
Nah. Just everything.
Jim Jordan's never hit so hard in my life. I was an hour into my 30-minute break demolishing a meal for five. Honestly, that day, I was probably one of the worst employees ever. But shit, I was having the time of my life.
Wicka wicka.
Until some Debbie Downer tried to kill my positive vibes.
Hey, who made this coffee?
That'd be me.
I asked for a black coffee and got a cup full of sugar and cream.
Are you sure you didn't order that?
And boom, she went off.
I can't believe this. This is a disgrace. This is outright disrespectful.
Let me talk to your manager right now.
And listen, I know not everyone's brain just disconnects when they get high. But for those of you who are anything like me, don't go to work high if you want to keep your job.
Wicka wicka.
Imagine putting in hard work, time, and dedication into saving up for some new shoes. You go to Foot Locker and find the perfect pair. You try them on. You check them out. And you cop them. And even though you spent your last $200 on these shoes, you're happy. Because you feel fresh as fuck, and these J's might actually get you some bitches. But as you're leaving the mall, a gang of motherfuckers wearing shiesties take those J's right off your feet. Leaving you shoeless, broke, depressed, and with absolutely zero bitches. Now, personally, I wouldn't let that slide. However, when I was just a young, wholesome boy in 7th grade, I still wouldn't have let that slide. But I was weak as shit, so it would have slid anyway. I mean, in 7th grade, I could have got my ass beat by Hezbollah, bruh. I was a walking lick, which is exactly why I got a story for y'all today. So as I said, this story takes place in 7th grade, where I was young, innocent, and built like a string bean, bro. So one Friday night, me, Bob, and Billy were going to this girl's house for the three-man mission. The plan was simple. There was three of us and three of them. We would put on a scary movie, and if everything went to plan, we would get some cheeks. Now, just earlier that day, I had copped some fresh ass Jordans, so I've got a little confidence boost as we walk up to this girl's house. So we knock on the door, they open it, and we go inside. Now we stuck to the plan. We put on some cheesy horror movie, and one thing led to another, and by the end of the movie, Bob had all three girls, bro, and me and Billy were in the corner playing Bloons Tower Defense. Don't ask me how this shit happened, I don't want to talk about it. So after hours of me and Billy straight fumbling, we all decide to go home. And although I was a little disappointed in my performance tonight, I put on my brand new uncreased Jordans and I remembered, damn. Even Curry airballs sometimes. Now the bus route back to Bob's crib took two buses. So we hop on the first bus, it takes us to the next stop, and as we're getting off, we see the second bus we need drive right by us. Fuck, is that our bus? Damn, yeah it is. Wait, check when the next one comes. Yeah, it shouldn't be long. Damn, bro, the next bus comes in an hour. So we have no choice but to wait at the bus stop for an hour. So we wait and wait, and at this point, it's already getting late. I check the time, and it's already 11 p.m. As we were sitting there, bored as hell, waiting for this bus to come, one of the other buses stops in front of us to let someone off. The person gets off, and as the bus starts leaving, we hear this loud thud come from the bus.
What the hell? What was that? Oh shit, it's a baton. And as we're analyzing this baton that seems to have fallen out of the sky, some motherfucker wearing a shiesty walks up to Billy like, give me that shit, and straight snatched the baton out of Billy's hands. And Billy froze up. Bro was scared shitless, straight bamboozled. And the way the bus stop was set up was there was a main road, the bus stop, and behind the bus stop was a small hill with bushes on top. And when I say this shit looked like something out of a movie, I mean this dude wearing a shiesty walks back up to the top of the hill and a group of five other dudes walk out from behind the bush and they're shiestied up too, bro. They had to have been in at least grade 12, and to a 7th grader, that is scary as fuck. And I was no genius, but as that group of shiesties came out of the bushes looking like a GTA 5 cutscene, I came to the consensus that they were up to no good. Yo, those Jordans are looking my size. And this was the moment I realized I was about to get my shit robbed. So I started analyzing my surroundings and calculating my options. Maybe I can talk my way out of this. hey sir, how was your day today? Shut up. I said, what size are the shoes? Damn, I can't fight them. It's a 3-on-5 and they got the high ground and they got a baton, bro. They would knock my ass out and take the shoes. But I'm fast. So if I take a right, then make a left, there's no way they can catch me. Wait, fuck, I can't run. I'd crease my Jordans. And just as I had ran out of options, Billy says the last words I would expect to come out of this man's mouth. Wait, Ethan? Yo, who the fuck? Oh shit, Billy. Oh, I didn't know it was you, bro.
Man, Ethan, you had me scared for a second.
Damn,
man.
My bad, pimp.
Yeah, no, you're good. How's your mom doing?
Oh, yeah, she's doing good. Yeah, it's great to see you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you too, bro. See you around.
All right, peace out.
Y'all, don't worry. I seen a kid over there with some new forces we could snatch.
Oh, yes, sir.
I bet.
Man, he's a good dude.
Nah, bro. He just tried to rob me. Who the fuck was that?
Oh, that's my longtime homie, Ethan.
Why do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We went to the same preschool.
Same preschool? That dude looks 20, bruh.
Oh, yeah, no, he is. He just got held back a few times.
Held back in preschool? How the fuck do you get held back in preschool?
Oh, he used to beat up the other kids and then take their toys.
Oh shit. Makes sense.
So we bust back to Bob's crib, and as we're walking to Bob's front door, I stepped in mud. Bruh.
Space isn't empty. It contains everything that exists. Hey, bro, you think this mirror's good? Nah, it's in used condition. What do you mean? Walmart doesn't sell used mirrors.
We're using it right now.
Damn, I've been hitting this joint for way too long. I should probably pass it to the next person. You ever thought about how most of the sky is actually below our feet?
No, it's right up there.
Holy shit.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna be your waiter for tonight. Just give me a second and I'll be right with you guys.
We are the waiters.
Bro, what are you talking about?
No, think about it. If we're waiting for the waiter, then we are the waiters. Hey, nice belly button, bro.
Hey, thanks, man.
Your belly button is really your old mouth, by the way.
What the fuck?
Yo, is your thumb even a finger?
Fuck, man, I don't even know. It's kinda just a thumb.
So if your thumb isn't a finger, then there is no middle finger. Hold up. If you were the first person in the world to break 2 world records, then that would be a world record. So you'd be the first person to break 3 world records. But then that would make it 4 world records. And that would make it 5 world records. Holy shit. Then it would be 6 world records. Man, who the fuck named this shit a chair? Like why a chair?
Hey, bro, I got you a milkshake.
Oh, thank you, man. Does a straw have one hole or two?
Obviously it's two.
No, but what if it's like one long hole? What's the point of life? If you get a bigger bed, you have more bedroom, but you have less bedroom, you know, like bedroom, like. Can I get a ice cream cone? No, fuck you, the ice cream machine's broken. Man, that's not fair. Well, life isn't fair, buddy, so what do you want? But if life isn't fair to everyone, then isn't life just kind of fair? Like, I just don't get it. Like, chair, why is it a chair? You know, it could have been like anything. So your nose grows every time you cap. Yeah, what about it? So what if you just said your nose is going to grow? Well, that would be a lie, so then it would grow. Try it. My nose is going to grow. Yeah, I told you. But now that it grew, it's not a lie. Whoa. Bro, I'm way too baked right now. Here, eat an orange, it helps. Nah, hold up. Are oranges named oranges because they're orange? Or is orange called orange because oranges are orange? Just eat the fucking orange.
Boys, we got the pizza.
Let's go. Why the fuck is the pizza box square? Like, if the pizza is circle and a slice is a triangle. Yo, who the fuck invited this kid? Yo, can you pass the lighter really quick? Yeah, I got you. Wait. When you light your lighter gets lighter until your lighter is so light that your lighter won't light. Damn, that motherfucker's spitting right now. It just seems weird. Like, why the fuck is it a chair?
It was a snowy Christmas Eve. My brother and I were watching a Christmas movie bundled up beside the fireplace while drinking a cup of hot cocoa. Man, it can't get any better than this. Or can it? What could possibly enhance these festive activities to their maximum potential? Or should I say, who can? So I called up the plug Randall and I'm like, yo Randall, yo what's up, cuh? Let me get some of that Christmas tree OG.
Oh shit.
Let me get some of that Mean Green Grinch.
Yes sir, yes sir.
Some of that Rudolph Red Eyes, you know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, I can't deliver right now, cuh.
Why not?
Well, you see, cuh, me and the family are setting up milk and cookies for Santa Claus, cuh.
Aw shit, Randall. I didn't know you were a family man like that.
Cuh, you already know it's Christmas Eve and shit, but if you really need some of that Mean Green Grinch, come by the crib and pick it up.
Say less. Randall sent his address and it was only a 15-minute drive. So we walk outside to go hop in the whip and I'm like, what? Where the fuck did the whip go?
It should be right here.
Oh, fuck. I mean, the entirety of the whip had been covered in snow. I mean, in these conditions, not only would it be impossible to drive, but many would say it wouldn't even be possible to walk to Randall's crib. However, on this specific Christmas Eve, there was nothing that was gonna get between us and that Christmas tree OG. So we throw on our snow attire and take our first step off the porch. And god damn, that shit was deeper than I thought. As we started our journey to Randall's house in waist-high snow, I was filled with determination. The type of determination that just dipped after 5 minutes of wet socks. Possible hypothermia and no end in sight. Bro, should we just head back now? I mean, we still got like 30 more minutes to go to Randall's house. I don't think I could do it, bro. Chains, just picture this. Mariah Carey is playing in the background. Your nose is filled with the sweet scent of freshly baked cookies while we get baked as fuck and drink as much eggnog as we want. Shit, you're right. We can't stop now. So we walked and walked in what seemed to be like endless amounts of snow. But then a brightness slowly revealed itself through the snowfall. A beautifully decorated house with reindeer on the roof and Santa Claus in the chimney. We had made it.
We made it to the boy Randall's crib. Randall invites us inside, and out of the Christmas spirit, the homie Randall seshes us up for the freesky. And at last, I got a taste of that Rudolph Red Eyes Kush, and in that moment, it was all worth it. So me, Randall, and my brother smoke up for a while, but then my brother realizes, oh shit, it's already 11 p.m. We gotta make it back for Christmas. Damn, you're right.
Wait. Before you jits go, cut. Take some for the road.
Yo, bro. So we begin our journey back home, except this time something was different. We were zooted as fuck. And if you've ever been in the cold while being more baked than some gingerbread, you would know that shit is ass. And as my brother and I walked through the snowfall continued to get worse and worse. And after 30 minutes of walking back home while being higher than Santa's sleigh, my legs just folded, bro. Oh shit, Chains, are you good?
Bro, it's too far. You're gonna have to make it back without me.
Bro, shut up. You're fine. You're just high as fuck.
Oh, Ni-chan.
Bro, get your bitch ass up.
Let me go. You need to make it back before Christmas starts.
Yo, just get up, bro. Stop playing around. Oh, my fucking God. And then I fucking died. Maybe that mean green Grinch was gonna be what stole my Christmas after all. Man, you're not fucking dead. Until my brother decks my ass harder than the boughs of holly. Bro quite literally slapped me back to reality. And that was all I needed to keep going. But we only had 5 minutes to make it back to the house before Christmas. So we use everything we have left. We see the red and green glowing lights in the distance getting closer and closer and... And by a Christmas miracle, at last we could sit down on the couch, bundled up next to the fireplace, watching a holiday movie, drinking some hot cocoa, all while zooted off that Christmas tree OG.
Yo, really quick, I wanted to say this video is inspired by Mostly True, the 7 Levels of High video. If you haven't seen it already, go check it out. And I'm not the most experienced smoker, but I generally have 3 stages of being high. The first stage is baked. At this level, you'll start to feel some of the usual effects, like having a dry mouth or dry eyes, but you're still like a normal functioning member of society. It'll make you a little bit happier than usual, make you a little bit more relaxed. But you know that voice in your head that talks whenever you think? It's like it gives that voice a microphone. Your thoughts pretty much just become louder and kind of more important in a way. But one of the major side effects that will hit you at this stage is munchies. You're gonna have the urgent desire to absolutely annihilate your cabinet. Your appetite is crazy, but all the food gets like a power up. A $2 junior chicken from McDonald's becomes a delicacy, bro. And on God, I'm not fat, but when I'm baked, I can eat like 10 of them. And that brings me to stage 2, faded. As soon as you're faded, your thoughts ascend to a different realm of thinking, bro. It's like being baked, except everything is more. Like, the munchies increase, the dry mouth gets drier, and your eyes get more red and more dry. At this point, it's like when you're at the dentist, you know, they use that little vacuum thing to suck all the like moisture out of your mouth, and then you're left like with your mouth just dry as fuck, and you're kind of just sitting there like. And if when you're baked, it's like your thoughts got a microphone, now it's like you gave your thoughts like a megaphone with big ass speakers.
I want hot Cheetos.
At this point, a lot of people get paranoid, especially if you're in a public setting, because you're just trying to act as normal as possible, but you're just not a normal functioning member of society at this point. Now, if you were going really crazy, you might make it to stage 3. And now I do have to reiterate that for stage 3 especially, this is just my experience. Now, with that being said, stage 3.
Slumped.
Your soul and essence has fully ascended. The real world is nothing but noise. You truly and fully ascended into the astral plane. You are one with the planets. You are one with the sun. You are one with
the universe.
Now after that shit, you're probably gonna feel high for like the next week at least. Personally, I would not recommend this stage because I definitely lost some brain cells from that experience. But shit, bro, maybe there was just something else in the weed.
Greening out is the worst thing you can get hit with when smoking. And coming from a greening out connoisseur, I can tell you there are many different things you'll experience when ODing on that Zaza. I mean, greening out can range anywhere from a zooted panic attack all the way to seeing yourself in third person. And of course, if you go way too far, GURPing may occur. But let's start it off on a light note. When greening out, you may convince yourself you're about to fucking die. Now, I know that might sound very bad, but trust me, it's even worse than you would think. Like, this is the type of greenout that will have you falling to your knees in a Wendy's bathroom. The type of greenout that will have you repenting your sins. And the type of greenout that will have your life flashing before your eyes. Now, after a careful examination, I have determined this greenout is caused by combining an excessive amount of Mary Jane with negative thoughts. This circumstance causes a chemical reaction in the brain scientifically known as getting so zooted you convince your dumbass you're about to die syndrome. And I'm just gonna summarize the experience so you never have to experience it. So you take too many chops out of the... Because let's be real, it's always the chops. Then you begin to realize you got way too high. Everything starts lagging and you're on about 5 FPS. So you convince yourself that your time is up. And so you just lie there waiting for your impending doom that never actually happens. Another thing you may experience after cheaping too much keef is something I like to call a factory reset. Now, I don't know the science behind this one, but for whatever reason, after smoking too much grass, that shit just starts hacking your brain and it hits you with that factory reset. I mean, all your past experiences, lessons, and most cherished memories straight deleted. You forget your name, your address, the ability to stand up. Now, this is usually the point you'll get hit with that kush coma. And if you aren't familiar with the term kush coma, it's when the kush puts you in a coma. Now, for me at least, the one time I was put in a kush coma, I didn't have a normal dream. No, I was put into a dream so realistic where I was just some middle-aged dude working a 9-to-5 with a wife and kids. But this dream did not last a normal dream length. It deadass felt like I lived this middle-aged motherfucker's life for a month. And when I woke up, I didn't know what was real. Now, I need to say this third experience will undoubtedly kill a sizable amount of brain cells. So with that being said, when you whiz way too much Khalifa, that shit is an out-of-body experience. Like, you'll be chilling, walking around, then all of a sudden that shit hits, and you're seeing yourself in third person. Yo, what the fuck? Now, I've tried to do a scientific analysis on this shit, but to be quite frank, that shit literally makes no sense. Like, who the fuck put the camera up there for you to be able to see yourself in third person? Okay, but anyway, it doesn't stop there. This change in your POV leads to an existential crisis. And through this existential crisis, you find the answer to life. However, when you go to communicate your new groundbreaking findings to the homies, it just sounds like this.
Bob.
Oh shit, he's alive.
Bob.
The stars, the trees,
us, our family, we are life.
Billy? I think Chains is greening. And let me tell you, greening out and lying face down on the floor go hand in hand. Like, you've never truly experienced greening out if you weren't looking like Neymar in the World Cup on some hardwood floor. Speaking of lying on the floor, this next level of greening out will have you becoming one with the floor. And I like to call it The hyperbolic time chamber. Now, if you go Super Saiyan on that gas, it will hit you harder than Chris Breezy, sending your high ass into the hyperbolic time chamber. 1 hour in the hyperbolic time chamber is equivalent to 1 minute in the outside world. This shit will have you feeling like you've been laying on the ground for 7 days straight. And your thoughts just get stuck in this endless loop like, damn, I need some cereal right now.
Wait. I've been lying on this floor for forever, bruh. I'm gonna fucking die in this infinite loop. Wait, loop. Loop like Cheerios. Damn, I need some cereal right now. It's essentially like a fever dream in real life, but even longer. Okay, but for this last level of greening out, I need to say, please do not get this zooted. Because if you do, you will probably notice a sizable drop in your IQ, and you may even get brain damage. Fuck. So with that being said, if you do more chops than Bruce Lee, you will experience a pain I would not wish on my worst enemy. A pain worse than stubbing your toe, worse than hitting your funny bone, and even worse than finding out your girl has your homie's Wi-Fi password. And this is the pain I call ODing on the devil's lettuce. Now, ODing on the devil's lettuce is pretty much all of the above combined into one horrible, agonizing pain. Not only do you think you're gonna die, but you forget your name, eat shit on hardwood floor, see in third person, and on top of all of that, time is in slow motion. And with all this going on, you're pretty much on 1 HP and your body is fighting to survive. And this is the point where you start throwing up and you are stuck in this infinite loop of death for what seems like an eternity. So don't green out, it's bad. Listen, bro, in this world, there's levels to clout. You could get yourself some Instagram followers. You could stack up a few bands. You could even be famous, but there's only one spot in life that is superior to the rest. A spot so glorious and sought after that they are idolized like no other.
It's me. I've got the infinite money glitch.
Come on, Jimmy. You know it's me. I need a max win.
Man, shut the fuck up, Drizzy. I'm literally Kanye West.
Nah, but I'm the top G.
All right, Lo. Bro, let's go band for band then. It's me.
But I'm the fastest kid in my school. Bro, I don't know who decided speed would be the deciding factor for who's the king of the school, but all I'ma say is that motherfucker's the GOAT, bro, because I was the fastest kid in my school. I was clapping everyone in races, I was breaking track records, and I had all the 9-year-old baddies, man. I wish I could still pull like that. Alright, it's just a miscommunication, you know, like when I say 9-year-old baddies, I didn't mean
explain
like-
Explain it to the judge, buddy.
Sick fuck. And because I peaked in elementary school, come with me and we'll take a look back at some of the first years of our lives and maybe some of the best, am I right? Kindergarten. Coming into kindergarten, kids were either excited or terrified as fuck for their first day. I mean, I would be pretty fucking pissed too if I knew this was the beginning of me being locked up every day for 13 years. But kindergarten was funny as hell because these kids had no clue what was right and wrong, so they'd be saying the most outrageous shit for no reason at all, bro. Hey, buddy with the hat, can you pass me the skin color crayon? I mean, at this age, kids were just walking NPCs, and I can't even blame them. I mean, they haven't developed consciousness yet, bro. Like, at this age, recess consisted of catching bugs, playing on the monkey bars, and fucking eating sand. And I've talked about the high school bathrooms and all the wild shit that happens in there, but to be honest, the elementary school bathrooms blow that shit out the water, bro. Because these kids aren't hitting vape tricks, no. They're hitting toilet trick shots, trying to set some world record for the farthest piss taken from the toilet. And let's just say even Stephen Curry couldn't splash that three-pointer, so essentially, motherfuckers was just pissing on the ground. Like, you need to walk into that bathroom 110% alert, or else the next thing you know, you're getting that R. Kelly treatment, bro. And I remember my kindergarten had those green, yellow, and red cards to show how good you were that day, but there was always that one kid with the permanent red. I'm talking the teacher didn't even bother to change his shit the next day, because everyone knows as soon as he walks into class, he's doing some fuck shit. For me, it was this kid we'll call Dennis, cause he was a menace, bro. He was always loud, always throwing shit, but besides being a menace, he was also a truth speaker, a fact spitter, for better or for worse, cause this little guy had no filter. Okay, Leah, you're up first for our show and tell. Okay, I brought my favorite painting of mine, this right here, this one's me,
and this is my dog, Peanut Butter.
That shit is bad.
Dennis, what did we say about saying the truth out loud?
I mean, not the truth. I'm talking about, like, he was the only dude I knew who could talk over the quiet coyote. I mean, to this day, if I see one of those things, I just can't talk. Like, I just can't talk over it. I mean, maybe he's gonna eat me. I don't fucking know. But there was one thing that could shut Dennis up, and one thing only. Boy-girl seating arrangements. Dennis always had so much to say until you put him beside Isabel and Leah, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what are you drawing?
Nothing.
Aw, is that your dog?
Maybe.
Shit, he's just like me for real. Like, to this day, you know?
Oh shit.
And then we go outside for lunch, and don't get me wrong, eating sand for fun was great and all, but as kids got older, everyone started to play games, some of which consisted of tag, manhunt, soccer, basketball, grounders, red ass, kickball, jump rope, tetherball, and what is possibly the most goated game of all time. Foursquare. This game was legendary, bro, but this shit used to get heated as fuck. I mean, kids were making truces, making whole clans, and that right there was real beef. Like, if you caught the ops lacking at nap time, it was on sight, bro.
Psst, what?
Oh, no, wait.
Wait.
You're a poopy
no.
ass. But man, crushes were everything in elementary school. Like, if you told anyone you had the smallest crush on a girl, word's getting out fast, and the entire class is gonna be organizing a wedding for tomorrow. But some kids just didn't use their words, like this one girl in my elementary school who most definitely had a crush on me. I mean, once again, I was the fastest kid in my elementary school, so... As I was saying, this girl had a crush on me, but she didn't like using her words, so essentially, she just, like... She just beat my ass. I mean, what better way to tell someone you like them? And she must have really liked me, bro, because you could see it when I came home. Like, oh my god, Chains, what happened?
Oh, well, I think this girl at school likes me.
Oh, yeah, that's great. But why do you have so many bruises?
Well, Mom, I think she really likes me.
No, I think you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And there was also that one kid who went around teaching people swear words just because he could. And of course, when I learned some shiny new words, I'm gonna use them. I mean, I still fucking do. But I remember just talking with my friends, dropping the F-bomb, feeling cool as hell. And then one time, I see this girl hauling ass over to the teacher and whispering in her ear. And I already knew what was going down because this girl was the biggest snitch known to man. Like, unprovoked. It was like a hobby or some shit to her. And her name was Erin. Like, her real name was Erin, spelled E-R-I-N. Yeah, how's it feel to get snitched on, buddy? But getting in trouble in elementary school was tough, because they would act like you were committing war crimes for the smallest things. Like, when I got snitched on for swearing, I was in grade 4. I was a big boy, you know what I'm saying? But my teacher was pissed, bro. Chains, you can never say that word. It's horrendous.
What does horrendous mean?
It's not good, okay?
Aw, shit, my bad.
Chains!
Aw, sorry, it's just stuck in my fucking brain.
Chains, cut it out right now or you get detention.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, motherfucker. What?
And I'm not gonna lie, the most cursed part of elementary school was the talent shows, bro. Because the teachers expect you to be all quiet and serious and shit, but it was literally a real life try not to laugh. Like, how am I supposed to be serious when Jimmy's up there shitting out Minecraft parodies like it's comedy gold? I mean, at my school, it was less of a talent show and more of a come on stage in front of the entire school and do whatever the fuck you want for 10 minutes type of show. And man, that shit was brutal. It was like watching paint dry. But if the paint was 7 years old and standing on a stage in front of the entire school, nervous as hell, shitting his pants. Cause elementary school had some weird kids, bro. Like those kids who used to put glue on their hands to let it dry so they could peel it off. Or the kid who would just straight up eat the glue. Or the weird kid who would secretly take a bite out of every single foam football. Like, how are you that hungry? The kid who only wore shorts through rain and snow. The kid who was mad at everyone for no reason. The kid who wouldn't stop yapping. The kid who always had to flex how strong their dad is. My dad is so much stronger than yours, he can beat up your dad with his pinky finger. He can bench press 625 pounds.
Wait, what even is that?
You don't know what a bench press is?
No. What the fuck is a dad?
The kid who thought he was Albert Einstein. The snitch named Erin lives at 354 Stickman Way. The fake snitch.
Bro, you won't believe what I just did.
What'd you do?
I just put my juice box in the recycling. Get this. With the straw inside.
I'm telling the teacher. Teacher.
Jackson.
Yeah, can I go to the bathroom?
The teacher's pet named Aaron, E-R-I-N, postal code 3310. And of course, the fastest kid in the school. You know what I'm saying? That was me. I was him. I was the fastest kid in my...
Man, family functions have the weirdest dynamic, bro. Like, how have you known these people your entire life, but have still never gone past the surface level conversation? I mean, let me know if it's just my family, but every function is the same. The whole gang links up, and everyone just asks the most generic small talk questions to each other. Hey, how's that new place you bought? Oh, yeah, you know, it's good. And how's the kids doing? Oh, you know, they're good. Oh, and how's the wife? Man, fuck your wife. I don't want to hear any of these NPC conversations, bro. And let me know if I'm getting too specific here, but what about that one uncle who goes by the name of either Bob, Jerry, or Dave? And this dude will just always be saying the most out-of-pocket things imaginable. Oh, how's your daughter Jane doing? Oh, Jane's always been hot, eh?
Bob, she's 15.
This uncle be at the family function thinking it's Coachella or something.
Bob, another beer's a little bit excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, football!
I'm the youngest person in my whole family, which for whatever unspoken reason, it just means everyone has the go-ahead to flame the living shit out of me. Hey, Chain, still no girlfriend, huh? I guess you're not too good with the ladies there. But I make one joke back and I'm the bad guy. You don't seem too good with the ladies yourself, seeing as your wife just divorced you and she took the kids with her. Am I right? Not only do they feel free to roast your whole existence simply because you were born last, they unanimously decide you will be everyone's personal butler. Hey bud, go get another beer for me. Alright, yeah, for sure. Thanks. Now you better get started on mowing that lawn. Grass isn't gonna cut itself, am I right?
Oh my god, bro.
And coming into these family functions, you would think your mom is your closest ally. But as soon as she gets the chance, she will expose your biggest secret for a little bit of parent clout. You guys will never guess what I found under Chain's bed yesterday.
Oh my god, what is it?
Yeah, tell us.
What? No way.
Sometimes when my family tries to make small talk with me, they just miss the boat completely. So, buddy, how's those swimming lessons going for you? The swimming lessons I took when I was 5? Yeah, right, those ones. They're good. I finished them a little while ago. Oh, is that right? Good for you, buddy. And bro, don't get me started on those recycled ass jokes. Well, looks like you got your workout for the day.
Oh, looks like you've gotten so tall. What are you feeding this kid, am I right? Oh, Bob, I think you got some food in your beard.
Oh, don't worry, I'm saving it for later.
Ah, good one, oh, Bill. Oh, Bob, he's so funny.
Thank you. I guess everyone at the function must have Alzheimer's or something. Because these jokes will have them cracking up like they haven't heard the same joke the past 15 functions. But cousins, man. Cousins are the saving grace of family functions. Without cousins, you would have no choice but to participate in the tomfoolery of small talk. I'd be walking in the function just praying to see that one cousin. And bro, I have a family function survival tip for you. You always have to stay within arm's reach of either your siblings or your cousins. Because whenever some bullshit goes down, you just give each other the look and flee the scene. And because when you get caught lacking on your own at the function, you get jumped. Metaphorically speaking, of course. Awkward conversations. We all know them and we all hate them. Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that.
Damn, you right.
So, how's your day going? My pet frog just died. Damn, that's tough. I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world. But let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah. Oh, fist bump. Oh, 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 no, sorry, nah, sorry.
God damn it. After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Man, why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way? Situation. I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro.
Alright, peace out.
alright, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward.
Man, what the fuck?
And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart and we saw one of our neighbors. So we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life.
It's clear.
And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence. Yeah, that's funny. Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things. Yeah, that's funny. So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying?
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem, like...
Oh, hey, buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, what? Why haven't you been here, huh?
Well, you know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
What I don't really want to talk about
what family stuff.
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows,